Genesis chapter number 1. And while you're turning to Genesis 1, I'd like to be sure you know you're welcome to come next Sunday, the 24th anniversary of the church. And anybody on earth is welcome. Okay? I get questions like, can I invite so-and-so? Can I invite so-and-so? And I'm not sure what is not understood about this statement, but anybody on earth is welcome. Okay? Are they on earth? They're welcome to come. All right. And so please invite people to come. We're going to order more food than anywhere close to the number of people we usually have in church. So we'll have room for a lot of people. To feed a lot of people more than what we usually have attend. So don't worry about us running out. Invite people to come next Sunday. All ages, all right? And anybody that's listening on the internet, you know, and I know people do, pray for us as we want to have some special Sundays coming up next week with the 24th anniversary. We're just having the tent and the dinner and everything as practice for next year, which is the 25th. We're going to make our mistakes this year. And so by the 25th, we can really have a great day for that. And we're just going to do that for a couple years. So I want to talk about special Sundays this morning. Special Sundays, and if you're apt to take notes, we might get through 5 or 6 of them. We'll see how time goes. But I believe Sunday is a special day. It's a special day on God's calendar, and it should be a special day on our calendar if we love the Lord. And I hope that maybe the sermon today will help you have a greater respect maybe for Sunday above all of the other days of the week. And I want to just bring to you some thoughts this morning about special Sundays to get us prepared for next Sunday and the Sunday following, which is Resurrection Sunday, and hopefully, what I'm hoping, maybe through this sermon, every Sunday for the rest of your life. I don't know, for me, Sundays are very special. I got saved on a Sunday. Most people do, but other people get saved on other days of the week because of the faithful witness of others, but I got saved on a Sunday. You know, they sing that song at camp sometimes, "It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me, it was on a Sunday, somebody touched me, it was on a Sunday, somebody touched me, it must have been the hand of the Lord." Amen? And while they're singing that, everybody stands up who got saved on a Sunday. And then they go on, "It was on a Monday, somebody touched me." And usually a few other people. Maybe they start with Monday and end up on Sunday. But I notice that whenever that song is sung, most people stand up on Sunday as the day they came to know the Lord as their Savior. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God started with a Sunday. God started with a Sunday. Number one, the creation began on Sunday. Sunday is a special day. It was a day when God began his works. And he rested from his works on Saturday, or what the Jews call the Sabbath. But I want you to notice the significance of this first Sunday. The first Sunday was the day when light was created. The first Sunday was when the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. The waters often in the Bible depict the nations and the peoples. And the earth at that moment was without form and void and dark. There was a formless void, darkness. If you could picture, for instance, somebody going out in the winter and just packing a bunch of snow together in the form of a snowball. I think what the Bible's trying to show us here in verse 2, that God just took a whole bunch of mud and dirt that he created and stuck it together one time like a mud ball. And that was it. It was without form. It was void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then something happened. Verse 2, the Spirit of God moved. Amen? The Spirit of God moved. And I think there's a picture here in how so many human beings are without form. And they're void. That word void means they're empty. And I know this was my testimony and many of your testimony. Before you came to know Christ as your Savior, your life was void. It was empty. You tried everything to fill that void and could find nothing to satisfy the void that was inside of you. And you were in darkness. You were not clear what life was about. Why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? And so on and so forth. And it was just deep. It was just a deep pit that you were in. But thank God the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the water. And not only did the Spirit of God begin to move this first Sunday, but God began to speak on Sunday. Verse 3, And God said, God speaks. And God often speaks His greatest messages on Sunday and said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I wonder this morning how you would describe your existence. Is your existence today without form? Is it void? Is it deep darkness? One of the wonderful things about Sunday is the Spirit of God moves. We'll see that throughout the sermon today. It begins to move in those formless, void places. And God begins to speak. And when the Spirit of God moves and God begins to speak, something's going to happen. There's power there. He says, let there be light. Let there be light. Jesus would later say in history, I am the light. He that is in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life, the whole meaning of life, the lights will come on if you will come to Jesus Christ as you are. And let the Spirit of God move in you. Let the Word of God speak to you. And let God say to you today, let there be light. And there was light. And God will bring you out of the darkness. He'll bring you out of the fog, the cloudiness that's in your mind right now, wondering what life's about. And everything will begin to make sense. And it says the path of the just grows brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And you'll be able to start in the light of Jesus Christ. And the more you walk on with God, the more and more all of life makes sense. The creation began on Sunday. And I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 24. And I want to say, second of all today, the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ, the greatest miracle that has ever been or ever will be on this earth, happened on a Sunday. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 1 it says, and upon the what? First day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, the grave. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they, that is the two men, these were angels, they always appeared as men, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. This is the greatest miracle that has ever taken place on the earth. Now, there have been others who have been raised from the dead, like Lazarus. But he would go on to die later. But Jesus Christ was dead and was buried and arose, and the Scriptures say He is alive forevermore. And, you know, of all the religions in the world, we're the only one that claims to have a living Savior who rose and conquered the grave and gave evidence, historical evidence, that He did in fact rise again and lives forevermore. He is the living Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was on Sunday, and that's very important to us because without it there would be no justification. It says He arose from the grave because God was satisfied with His sacrifice of His own body on Calvary's cross for our sins, and to prove that, God rose Him from the dead for our justification. God said, I am satisfied with what He did, His death, and the shedding of His blood, the value of His blood, and He raised him from the grave. What a great day this was. We don't have time to study it all, but as you go on, there were these that heard the angels say, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." You know, those who are without Christ are dead. You can't find the living there. I know I tried it, many of you tried it. Many of you in your past, your testimonies that you used to hang around dead people. Oh, they were alive physically, but they were dead spiritually. And you were hoping that maybe in their parties, and maybe in their drugs, and maybe in their alcohol, and maybe in their pleasure seeking, and maybe in their money making, maybe you'd find some life there, but there is none. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus, it says here, he is not here, he is risen. He says he's gone before you into Galilee. Now a little bit later in the chapter, it says in verse 13, "Behold, two of them went on the same way to a village called Emmaus," which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's a little over 7 miles. And what a Sunday they're going to have. This is going to be a really special Sunday for them. Now it started out bad. And they talked together of all the things that had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near. So now there's three men walking out of Jerusalem towards Emmaus. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You know, Sundays can start out sad and by the end be glorious. If you just learn to walk with Jesus, get to where Jesus is. And you can start out every Sunday of your life kind of sad, but by the end of the story, and I wish I had time to read all this, but we don't have it. And they didn't understand that this was Jesus, and they said, "Are you only a stranger?" They thought Jesus is back in Jerusalem in a tomb dead. And here this third man comes and says, "What, are you only a stranger here?" Everybody knows what happened, how Jesus was crucified. And we were hoping that he would be the one, verse 21, who would redeem Israel and become our next king, and so on and so forth. And you know, the Lord can take defeated people on a Sunday. And he can take sad people. And he can take unbelieving people. And if you get them into the presence of Jesus Christ, things can begin to open up to them. You see, there was an open tomb back here in verse number 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. There's the key to life right there, is you find the open tomb. You find that Jesus isn't there, that he's risen from the grave, and you believe in him, and he begins to open things up to you. Notice the story goes on here, and he begins to talk to them out of the scriptures while they're walking to Emmaus. And he begins to recite to them things that were said about him in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the Psalms and so on and so forth. And they're listening to this man, this stranger, as they're walking towards Emmaus. And all of a sudden, things are starting to say, you know, that is true. Christ did, according to the Old Testament prophets, have to die and be buried and rise again. And they got to their house And the man said, "Well, it's been nice talking to you." And he made like he was going to keep walking on, the Lord Jesus did. And they said, wait a minute, verse 28. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them. And notice it says, and their eyes were opened. And they knew him. You see, somebody can start out a Sunday in darkness, and by the time the day's over, if they're in the presence of Jesus Christ, their eyes can be opened. Their eyes can be opened. And not only did he open their eyes in verse 31, but verse 32 says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Not only can Jesus open our eyes on a Sunday, but he can open the scriptures to us. I can't tell you how many people I've met who said, I tried to read the Bible, I just can't understand it. I tried to read the scriptures, I just can't understand it. But yet when you introduce them to Jesus Christ, and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you teach them, and you say, "Now before you read the Bible, just bow your head before you read the Word and just say, oh Holy Spirit, please show me what the scriptures mean. And help me to understand them." I'll guarantee you that today, in March of 2007, every one of us could go home this afternoon and have God Almighty show you what the Bible says. He can open the Scriptures to you. See, Sunday's a special day. You meet Jesus Christ on Sunday, and He opens our eyes, and He opens the Scriptures. Look at verse 45. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Not only did He open the Scriptures to them, but their understanding came. And they were no longer living and walking in life. And I don't care what the subject is. If you want to know how to have a good marriage, there is understanding in the Bible. If you want to know how to raise your children, there's understanding in the Bible. If you want to know how to get out of your financial mess, the Bible can fix it. And if you want to know how to run a business, the Bible can tell you how to run the business. It doesn't matter what the subject is regarding faith and practice. If you want to be successful as a single person or a divorced person, or if you want to be able to overcome the abuse that you've been through, it doesn't matter what your situation is in life, the Bible has the answer. And there is a God who will open your understanding if you'll meet with Him. If you'll meet with Him. We ought to go to church on Sunday. Sunday's a special day. Sunday's a special day. It's a day when people walk with Jesus. And He opens their eyes, and He opens their Scriptures, and He opens the understanding to them. Some of you probably remember when you were saved, and you were in darkness, or you were unsaved, and somebody just began to share the Scriptures with you. And all of a sudden, it all started making sense. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And you trusted Christ as your Savior, and it's like all, a brand new life started. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Things start making sense. Questions that you had in your life that you thought never could be answered started being answered. And direction that you thought you'd never find for your life, God begins to direct you. And a life of wrong choices and bad decisions and the corresponding consequences begins to roll off of you, and you begin to start making right choices and right decisions and receiving the benefits and the rewards of I'm telling you today, if there was no God, I'd still live the Christian life because of how rewarding it is. And how it works in a marriage, and it works in a family, and it works in your finances, and it works with getting along with your neighbors and your fellow employees. The Christian life works. If there was no God, I'd still live it. Oh my, what a wonderful day Sunday is. And then number three, the Holy Ghost came on the church in mighty power on Sunday. Turn to Acts chapter number 2. A couple books back, there's Luke, John, and Acts. Acts chapter number 2, the Holy Ghost came on the church in mighty power, and it was on a Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ, and they always counted the first Sunday as a number. And now here we are, about 7 Sundays later, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost came on the church. They had been meeting for 10 days in prayer. They'd begun a prayer meeting one Wednesday night, and they continued through for about 10 days, and they prayed, and it says in verse number 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then the following verses tell you the languages, the actual languages and dialects that they spoke about. And it says, "Every man heard them," verse 6, "speak in his own language." Verse 8, "in our own tongue." Verse 11, "We do hear them speak in our tongue." So don't get confused about the tongue speakers out there that you hear about on the radio and television and so on and so forth. These were not unknown languages. These were known to someone. They were unknown to the person speaking them, but they were known to somebody. It would be like me having a miraculous ability to speak in German, having never studied German. And people had come, thousands of men had come from every country imaginable who did not speak the Greek language or the Hebrew language, and so they needed to hear in their own tongues the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to stretch this too much, but there's a language that God wants to speak to you in. And there's some times where a pastor will be saying one thing, and all the time the Holy Spirit's saying something different to you individually. And the pastor never studied that, never even thought about it. But a word or a phrase out of his lips will be taken by the Holy Spirit and interpreted for you and for your particular need. So I want to encourage your attendance at the Lord's house, because even if I get the wrong sermon, he'll get the right one. He'll get the right one. He'll say to you every week exactly what you need to hear. Every week he'll tell you what you need to hear. Oh, what a day this was. It was a day of assembly, verse 1. It says, and they were all with one accord in one place. Sunday was a day of assembly. Verses 2 and 3, it was a day of spirit fullness. All of them. God wants every single person to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Ghost is not just for pastors or evangelists or missionaries. It's for little girls and little boys. And for teenagers and young adults and workers and construction guys and nurses and so on and so forth. The Holy Spirit, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. And he didn't come inside of you because he didn't want somewhere, because he was just lacking some place to live. That would be like living in a garbage can. Who would choose to do that? I mean, there's no filthier place on earth than inside of a human being. I'll be the first to raise my hand on that. Man, you wouldn't want to know what's on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit came inside of me to help me. Not so I could ignore him the rest of my life, but so I could die to self and get self out of me and the Spirit of God into me in fullness and power and greater measure and supply. And Sunday ought to be a day when we become filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a day of preaching. Verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. It ought to be speaking, but it ought to be Spirit-filled speaking. We ought to pray constantly for the preachers and the teachers and the men and women teaching classes and whoever's ministering the Word on the buses. And we ought to pray that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost as they speak the Word of God. Verse 14 says, then, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Notice it was a day of preaching. Sunday was a day of preaching. And then verse 37, it was a day of invitation. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's a day of invitation for people who don't know what to do to come to Christ, to come to the Scriptures, to allow someone to take the Bible and show you how to be saved and have a word of prayer for you. Or if you have some other need in your life and you're looking for instructions, there ought to be somebody in the assembly who can use the Bible and say, this is what you need to do according to the Word of God. Now let's pray about it. A day of invitation. It was a day of salvation and baptism. Verse 41, maybe they gladly received His Word, were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And so it was a day for salvation and baptism and an addition to the church. And you hear us mention these things almost every week around here. If you need to be saved, come and let someone talk to you about being saved. If you need to be baptized, then come and let's talk about baptism. And if you need to be added to the church and join the church, come. Notice in verse 42, it was a day of doctrine, a day of fellowship and prayers. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. See, Sunday ought to be a day where we learn some doctrine. Like this morning, we were studying our analogy in Sunday school, the doctrine of heaven. And I'm sure that people who came this morning learned things about heaven they'd never learned before. And it helped you to know where you're going. And so many doctrines. It's a time for fellowship. You can't have fellowship if you're at home listening on the internet or watching the TV or listening to the radio to your favorite preacher. And I thank God for some good ones that are out there. But we need to have fellowship. That means common communion with each other, where we glean from each other's strengths. And we lean on each other. And maybe you're strong and say, well, I don't need church. But there's weak people who need to lean on you in your ministry until they're strong enough to stand. See, church isn't just about you. It's about others that you are to help. It's about others that I am to help. I thank God there were churches back 37 years ago when I got saved where I could go to as a little boy, about 12 years old when I got saved, and I could lean on my Sunday school teacher and on the deacons and on the pastor and some godly ladies that just took me under my wing and took me under their wing rather and helped me grow, because I didn't know which end was up. I didn't know what was right or wrong. And you are needed in the church. It's a place of doctrine and fellowship and prayers, and it's a time where either you get ministered to until eventually you become strong enough so you can minister to other people. Every one of us ought to be trying eventually to help someone. We ought to come to the place where we say, look, I've been leaning on believers for 20 years. It's time some of the young believers start leaning on me. And I help them stand so the next generation can have some strong believers to teach their generation also. The church assembled on Sundays. Turn to Acts 18. Number 4, the church assembled on Sundays. We're talking about special Sundays. The creation began on Sunday. The resurrection of Christ was on Sunday. The Holy Ghost came on the church in mighty power on Sunday. And notice here, the church assembled in the first century on Sundays. We didn't just make this up. You know, organized religion, if you want to call it that, isn't just something that's made up. I know a lot of it isn't worth the powder to blow it up. And I wouldn't give two dimes to some of it. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's still based on Scripture. Let's make it right. Let's make it better. You help. It says that he was ministering to Jews, that is the Apostle Paul in Acts 18 and verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue, notice, every Sabbath, that's a Saturday, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they, the Jews, opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the what? The Gentiles. So here is a pivotal point in Christian history. Now in verse number 4, if you will, circle the word Sabbath. And in the column of your Bible, write down this phrase, last mention of Sabbath in the Bible. This is the last time you'll read the word Sabbath, S-A-B-B-A-C-H in the Bible, but there's a lot of Bible to go in there. There's the rest of Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. A lot more books to go in there. But you'll never read the word Sabbath again. Why? Because he was talking to Jews in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But they opposed themselves, and they fought him, and they fought him, and they fought him, and they fought him. And finally, Paul, who was a Jew, said, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. I want you to notice something new. What does it say here in verse 7? And upon the what? And upon the what? First day of the week. He's with the Gentiles now. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Sound like they had a Sunday evening service too. Doesn't it? We're going to meet tonight. I'm going to preach till midnight. Be scriptural around here. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen in a deep sleep. That happens in church sometimes, doesn't it? Hey, if you're tired, come to church and sleep. Don't stay home. And as Paul was long preaching, yeah, even Paul did that sometimes, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while. Now this is after midnight. even till the break of day, so he departed. He had a lot to say and a short time to say it. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I want you to notice this special Sunday here. The church assembled on Sundays, on the first day of the week. This is a pivotal point in Christian history where we go from the Sabbath to Sunday, the Lord's Day. And I want you to notice in this meeting there's preaching and there's fellowship and there's miracles taking place. I mean, he's raising the dead. He's raising the dead. They got an evening service going. And what a great day that was. And we see here a principle taught and practiced by the early church. That was the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, Sunday, when the disciples came together. That's what the word church means, a called out assembly for the purpose of assembling together. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1 and 2, I'll just throw this in here and then I'll get to one more here. A little principle here. Paul is writing a letter to the Galatians. That's the Galatia. It was a region about the size of our state of Georgia, and there's a whole bunch of churches in it. And he wrote them a general letter, and he said this in 1 Corinthians 16:1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," he's talking about collecting money, "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no collections when I come." I don't want to talk about the collections, but this is where we get the practice of everyone, every Sunday, the first day of the week, honoring God in our giving. But let me go one more here, maybe two. Our time's going. We have some baptism, but turn to Revelation. Revelation, let me show you one more here at least. Number five. Number one, the creation began on Sunday. Number two, the resurrection of Christ was a special Sunday. Number three, the Holy Ghost came on the church in mighty power on a special Sunday. Number four, the church assembled on Sundays. And notice this, number five, the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to John one special Sunday. But if you want a revelation of Jesus Christ, hang around on Sundays. There's just something about that day. But it's conditional. It's conditional. And notice the condition in verse 10. Revelation 1:10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." I was on the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The capital S indicates that that Spirit is talking about the Holy Ghost. He's saying here, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." He wasn't in the flesh. He hadn't stayed up all night watching MTV or listening to music or watching television or whatever. Something happened in John where he must have taken time on Saturday or something to be in the Holy Ghost. Because when Sunday came, he made the statement by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we know because of that, he would never lie. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." If you and I can be in the Holy Ghost on the Lord's day, something's going to happen that Sunday. Something special. We're going to receive a special revelation. And as soon as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, notice what happened. "And he heard behind him a great voice, as of a trumpet, and the voice is Jesus Christ." And he hears Jesus Christ in verse 11, and then he sees Jesus Christ in verses 12 through 17. And boy, I wish I could go through this, but you know, we don't see him physically, but we do see the invisible by faith. And the Bible says that in the preaching of the Word of God, the glory of Jesus Christ is revealed to us, and we are changed into the same glory from image to image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But in order for that to happen, sometimes people say, "Well, I went to church, nothing happened to me." Well, maybe you didn't come in the Spirit. You know, the Bible says every believer in Christ is either in the Spirit or in the flesh. And sometimes we're constantly bouncing around between the two until we get some stability. I know that takes time, and you got to be patient with yourself. You got to grow in the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But when John got in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he heard the Lord and he saw the Lord. Something special happens on Sundays, folks. Something special happens on Sundays. Notice in chapter 2, He begins to talk about what the Lord told him. And notice something special. It says here, let's just take verse 7 for instance. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Church. Is this church important? Who speaks there? The Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear. See, that's conditional. You've got to have an ear. Anyone can listen. But you got to have the Spirit of God to hear. My wife yells at me all the time. I listen to her, but I don't hear her. Nah, I'm just kidding. Do you ever have kids like that? They listen to you, but they don't hear you? You know, some of you parents know what that's like. You come home, hold this, the things you gave them to do, nothing's done. They were listening, and you saw their eyeballs were open, their ears were open. They didn't hear you. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the what? Churches. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the... You know, just these are seven of them. I'm not going to read all of them. I just read three of them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's the case, and I'd want to be in church every time I could be. Because there's a special message from the Holy Ghost given to those who will honor the Lord by coming to His house. And some of you come a long ways. God bless you. It says in Psalm 26 and verse 8, Lord, I love the habitation of the house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. God's honor dwells here. I need to close, but let me just give you this last one. Turn to John 20, and I'll make this brief, but let me say this. Number 6, Thomas had a special day on Sunday. Thomas had a special day on Sunday. The first Sunday, Christ rose from the dead. He revealed himself to his disciples. There were 10 of them there. One killed himself earlier, a couple days earlier, Judas Iscariot. He was a devil, and he committed suicide. Thomas, for some reason, missed the Sunday night service, the first one. Remember, Jesus came at evening and revealed himself to the disciples. The day he rose from the grave, they were assembled for fear. But that Sunday night service, Thomas missed. Now, 8 days later, and they always counted the same day once, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8, the next Sunday. It says here in John chapter number 20 and verse number 26. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. I like how the presence of the Lord brings peace. But Thomas had denied the Lord. All 10 of the disciples a week earlier had said, we have seen the Lord. We've handled him. We've talked to him. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. He said in verse 25, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And can you imagine the arguments that went on for the next 7-8 days? Can you imagine 10 against 1? We saw, I'm telling you, we handled them. And they call him Doubting Thomas. I call him More Stubborn Thomas. If 10 guys told me they saw something, I tend to believe them, I think. Not Thomas. But you know, God will put up with that. Isn't he a wonderful God? He kind of puts up with us the way we are. Hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked, and stubborn. You know, say, I'll work with you until you're ready. I'll work with you until you're ready. And then Jesus shows himself. I'm glad I'm not God. I'd say, oh, forget him. He don't want to believe in me. I'm like, no, Jesus said, peace be unto you. And the first thing he says, verse 27, reach into thy finger to Thomas to hold my hands. Reach into thy hand, trust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. See, the thing that's special about church, the thing that's special about Sunday, the thing that's special about assembling and having Jesus Christ come is he comes to us individually. He knows your name. He comes to Thomas. And he knows your need. He even knows your faults and says, that's all right. You don't want to believe in me. That's okay. I'm here. And I love you. Thomas, listen, why don't you just go ahead. Reach out of your finger. Behold my hands. Let's be personal here, Thomas. Let's make this your personal Sunday. Let's make this your Sunday you'll never forget. Don't be faithless, Thomas believed. Thomas answered and said, verse 28, my Lord, my God. And traditional history tells us Thomas believed in the Lord so much, he went out and was a missionary the rest of his life, and they killed him. He was a martyr for Jesus Christ. I want to just use that story to close and say, maybe this is your special Sunday. I felt the day I got saved in church like this, when I was 12 years old, like God was speaking to me like I was the only one on earth. I'm so glad. I'll never forget that Sunday. Do you think Thomas ever forgot this Sunday? Do you think he ever in his life forgot this Sunday? And the Lord went up to him as an individual and says, don't be faithless, believe in me. And maybe today is your day, your Sunday, your special Sunday. Because look what he says in verse 29, I'll close. He says, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now listen to this. This is for you that are here. This is for me. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You want a blessing? It says, blessed are they who have never seen the Lord. They believed. For by grace are you saved through faith, believing on Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not here by accident today. Maybe all the time I've been up here loudmouth preaching, somebody else has been speaking to your heart as an individual. Saying, don't be faithless, believe. I want to be your friend. I want to be your Savior. Trust me. I'll help you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here today with